and
already ready for it to be done.
Speaking of winter, I have to skip out early on Friday, Thursday night to meet with him. Jace has a concert. Thursday night, 6 o'clock. It's been that way with middle school. They always have it the first Thursday of December.
Which middle school?
It's the band.
The band, okay. At first I was like, what am I missing?
It's the band.
Are we both dipping out early?
No.
Okay, I don't got one in bed.
Yeah. That's an eighth grade band.
Okay.
What's that?
I've been told I have a very loud voice.
No, it wasn't your voice.
Oh, okay.
I was just talking about maybe.
The city's looking really good.
Uh-huh.
I made a career of talking about it.
my dad in his complex talks about it all the time. I mean, it's just like everyone's just losing it. I love it. Well, people working really hard. A lot of credit for what they're going to do. Yeah. Okay, well, I just didn't want us to throw garbage on the ground.
So thanks about that.
I felt like I needed to dress warm today. I've been outside, inside, outside. Just hanging wreaths and lights and, you know, all the good stuff.
Well, this time of year. That is. Well, you know, tomorrow's going to blow all the way with 50 mile an hour wind.
Oh, great. I'm going to take my little trees in that I could put in the umbrella holder that I can't get off the ground because it froze. Oh.
Turn into a little man.
Yeah, but it's full of cold extensions for it.
Yeah, well, there's some surge connectors like here, and then further down.
Oh, yeah?
But not like in every spot.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there's one down there.
Yeah. Mm. So, pretty much, it's by the place some folks don't even touch it. This is move them, is what you do. Take up your space.
So bright today?
I am done yet.
This is how they play.
Counselor Fennessy, I know your voice is bothering you, but can you hear us okay?
Counselor Ernstickel is going to be on.
Yeah. Is he muted on your end?
He is muted.
By you?
No.
Oh, sorry, were you asking me?
Yes. You can hear us okay?
I can hear you guys. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you guys just fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be just getting through introductions, but I'll provide all the time that is. We'll just be getting through introductions. We probably have 2.5 hours left for us.
My intent is. Or should we just hold everything?
I'm here, buddy.
I always have that fear though.
Together these days.
They do. So my question is,
I can't remember. I'm sorry. Because I watched the finance meeting first agenda. And I know you weren't here, now I'm trying to think about it. I feel like you brought some, I felt like you were related to myself in that meeting, and I felt like that needed to be explored more.
You didn't address somebody anyway. You don't just leave it all your life.
I don't even know. Well, I don't know.
Warmer days.
Well, that's what I'm
doing. You got a clock in?
No.
Could you give me this?
I wasn't.
Oh, no. No.
I can do that.
It was right in front of my name. My God.
I stepped outside. That
wasn't it, the chocolate? Yeah. Well, there's two boxes. So I Councillor Van Sickle, can you hear us okay?
I had it muted.
Councillor Van Sickle, can you hear us okay? Councillor Van Sickle, if you could just pop off mute and let us know you can hear us.
I can. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And Frog, can you hear us okay?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm over that. I fully don't check passenger anymore. I just know.
you had stabbing this.
Hey, Jim, the planning commission minutes that were submitted spelled my name wrong a bunch of times. They're not final to me. We just fixed that one.
Those are fixed.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that's where I
what they get wrong.
First name? Last name.
If that's helpful to you or not.
Here's ring. Good evening, counselors. It is 6:30 p.m. I will call the Tuesday, December 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Superior Common Council to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the clerk please call the roll?
Counselor Ledeen.
Here.
Counselor Van Sickle.
Here.
Counselor Moffitt.
Here.
Counselor Sweeney.
Here.
Counselor Fennessy.
Here.
Counselor Elm.
Here.
Vice President Ludwig.
Here.
Counselor Herrick.
Here.
Counselor Johnson.
Here.
President Kraske.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 3.1 is an update on the solar array at the Superior Fire Department headquarters with Fire Chief Cameron Volbrecht.
Welcome, Chief. While he's setting up, Fire Chief asked to give this presentation. It's been 1 year since we installed the solar array, and I asked him to expand at least the conversation to include all of the electrification improvements that the fire department has made, including some of the electric vehicles. So note your questions as he's given the presentation, and we'll have a little conversation afterwards. Fire Chief.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Councilors. I guess to start with, looking at a picture taken from our drone that really puts in perspective what our solar panels look like on the roof, because generally when you're driving by, you cannot see them from the road. They're pretty invisible. But as you see, it's a system of 319 total panels mounted on the fire hall headquarters itself and then on the outbuilding and back. They're aspect to the south on the main building, and then on the back they're with the pitch of the roof, and they're aspect to the west. Oh, I got to push the right button. Oh, so it's blocking it. So kind of how we got to where we are right now, and just a little timeline. And so the summer of 22, this project was brought up and brought through the budgeting process by Chief Gordon. And in the fall of 22, that budget was approved for $250,000. It'd be allocated from the fire department's CIP towards the solar project. So after that, the fall, Helioscope annual production report was prepared. So that's an estimate on how much power we could produce based on the size of the system and the location where we are with our weather. And they take into account, you know, our average cloudy days. They take into account what they call spoiling. So in the winter, we know that it's going to have some snow cover on it. So we know that's going to reduce the production. So that goes into that design. After that, a request for proposals was put out for design and construction. And then in March, you guys approved that contract with Cedar Creek Energy. Construction started in September of last year, or 23. And then October 23rd, the system was officially turned on. Commissioning date was the 16th, was when it was finished. And then Water, Light, and Power had to do their final hookup. And then until October 23rd, it was actually turned on and started producing power. So this is the dashboard, what I would see every day when I turn on the system to look at it. It's just a web-based application. As you can see, the system power, 153 kilowatt power system, 319 roof mounted panels. Our production year to date on the bottom, it's kind of hard to read, but it's about 163 megawatt hours or 163,000 kilowatt hours. This was as of Monday. We're just about to 164. I just checked it before I came down here. And it gives me a display on how much we've created this month and how much we've created on the day itself. And then just on the side note, so the average house in Wisconsin uses about 8,500 kilowatt hours per year or 23 kilowatt hours per day. So as you can see, even Monday in December by noon, we had produced enough power to power a home for the day. So I'm kind of covering up. It's hard to see here now. We're covering up. But what I did was across the top, we have our gross system cost, which was $364,000. The system to build it actually cost $364,000. And then federal tax credit was 30%, which is $109,425. And then we also qualified for the low-income community tax credit of another 10%, equaling $36,475. In addition, the Wisconsin Focus on Energy rebate for $18,000. So the net system cost of the city would pay for the system is $200,518. So if we, this is really busy, I know, I'm sorry, but I tried to get all the numbers in. But this is a 30-year kind of a cash flow look at the of the project. So here's 23 construction, we're 2,000 or 200,583 in the red for production or for construction costs. We produced estimate this year 165,966. I think we're going to be a little more than that, but that's based on the system performance. Kilowatt hour cost, what we pay for water, light, and power for power, you know, multiply times production, and then we get a production in value and dollar amount, and then apply it to what our initial investment is, and then forward that for 30 years. So 30 years is the performance life on the panels. They have a degradation rate of 0.45% per year, which is included in the production. You see the production will go down each year as we go through time. And then I included a 3% inflation rate for power. When I looked at one of the government, Department of Labor, I think, had the statistics, roughly 3% for the last 10 years. If you look at the last 20 years, it's a little under that. In the last 30 years, it's a little over. So I just took 3% and then applied a 3% elevator for each year for the cost of power. So as you see, our production goes down, but the cost of power goes up, so our value of production goes up a little bit. Then applying it to a running cost. And so we look at at the end of 2035, start of 2036, the system will have repaid for itself. And then after that, we see the net value all the way out to year 30, where the warranty ends on the panels, and of being $424,000. So that's an estimate, right? It's good to look at it, but it is based on the current production, and it's based on our current cost of electricity. You could look at it, if electricity cost never goes up, the system would still pay for itself in roughly 12 or 13 years, but I'm assuming that, like everything, energy costs are going to keep increasing. So we look at our bills, just trying to show you what we pay for power and how that works. And so this is a bill from June of 23. So this was May 10th to June 6th of 23. And looking at our charge, this is actually what we're paying for electricity. So like 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour, how much kilowatt hour we used. And then this pack charge is actually a discount. So they adjust that price each month based on, so it can go up or it can go down. So in this case, the bill, the total bill this month was $807.23. And then the same period in 24, look at with the system running from May to June, our bill was negative $742. Yes, I grabbed the middle of summer when we're producing lots of power, but even in the winter, it does produce some power to create savings. So the next, this is our bills for the year prior to installing solar, so October 11th of 22 to October 23rd of 23, each month, what we paid for electricity costs, how many kilowatt hours we used. This was what we paid total for the year, $12,312, and we utilized 113,513 kilowatt hours of power. So the first year of with the solar array operating, we can look at our bills. Each month, as we're paying, they're red, and as we're receiving, they're black. So our total for the year, we paid $717 for power, and we actually made 48,000 kilowatt hours that we sold back. The reason why that it doesn't look like we're making more because we're selling that much is because we get demand charge every month. We get a $10 fee for having a solar array. We get a $28 fee for just having a hookup. So there's other fees that go into that bill besides just the power. But then if we look at the net difference between the 2 years, it was $11,595 savings from what we paid out of the pocket between October of 22 to October of 23 to October of 23 to October of 24 when the system was running. Now, also embedded in that power use this year, we've charged two EVs. So we put about 10,000 miles on those two EVs this year. So that fuel for them came out of that power production. So that's an additional savings. And if I just look at fuel use from January through October of 23 through January of October of 24, we've used 445 gallons less of gasoline and 294 gallons less diesel fuel. So roughly $2,500 in savings. So when you add that up to that 11.5, a little over 14,000. So it's kind of fitting into where that model had put it. Some of the other benefits of having EV vehicles is that they are a storage unit. If you look at them, they're a vehicle, but they also are a storage unit. So each one of our F-150s stores about 130 kilowatt hours of power. And if we look at how much power we use in one of our stations, one of these vehicles could power one of our outside stations for about a day and a half. And if we had two of them, we can get 3 days. So if we did have an issue with power and then have an issue with the generator, so our backup system wasn't working, we can provide power to that station. We'd have to be a little creative with extension cords and stuff because the stations aren't wired to have that two-way power. That is a possibility in a newer station that it could be wired that way, but our old stations aren't wired that way. But we could simply use extension cords to run radios, run lights, run heating system, so we can keep those stations alive for a period of time with the power that those vehicles can provide, as well as providing mobile power to sites without having to have a generator, things like that running. So, noise conscious as well as having vapors and things like that around. So that's the system. We haven't had any maintenance issues, anything like that. Everything is ran perfectly. You don't know they're there. The only time we know they're there on days like today when it's really windy, you can hear the wind run across them on the roof of headquarters. Other than that, they're pretty much the silent thing that, is making money over time. So, questions?
Councilor Moffitt.
So your numbers are based on the current energy numbers and then some projections into the future. Have you thought about or analyzed what the numbers are different for like other communities? Because I know our buyback rates here are substantially lower than other communities. And so like, for example, if the same station was in Duluth, just across the bridge, the buyback rates are like substantially higher, aren't they, in other communities?
So our average sell rate, so that's I think 8.53 cents per kilowatt hour, and our buy rate is 7.9. I can look at the bill since per kilowatt. I know our power cost is actually fairly low. When I was looking at community averages, our power cost is actually fairly low compared to other communities. And I don't know if that's because that affects our buyback rate, because I would assume there has to be some sort of money in there for the utility to provide, lines and stuff like that, because we still rely on utility. To be completely off-grid would require us to have some sort of a battery or storage where we could put power into it and then take power out of it, where we rely on that utility because we have to take power at night, put power back on day, and then in the winter we do create some power, but we're not enough to supply our needs. So I don't know. I haven't looked at that, but that would be something I could do some research on.
Other questions? Councilor Elm.
Thank you for your detailed presentation along the way here and monitoring this as you have. I was curious, has there been any maintenance costs along the way here? Do we foresee any maintenance costs, and were they included in those figures? I understand there's probably some warranty as well for a time, but could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we haven't had any maintenance costs. Like I said, the panels are warranted for 30 years for performance, so they won't degrade more than 0.45% per year. Some of the gear is warranted between 5 and 15 years, and then it has a 10-year workmanship warranty on it.
Thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Councilor Harris.
Just one quick question. So you mentioned snow cover. So there's basically if the snow's on that, you just leave it? Is that there's no way to remove it, or?
Yeah, you can remove it, or with the angle in the tent, you know, when the sun comes out, the snow does slide off them, just like a steel roof.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. My question is, so this is year one. Presuming similar support from the council for initiatives like this that were helping the department achieve innovation in its operations, regardless of its sustainability and energy usage, but also investments in energy improvements, what does the department and its infrastructure look like 5 years from now? What else is coming?
So we know we have an EV fire truck coming in less than a year. Sounds like delivery will be late next summer. So that'll be a chance to capture more of that energy. So instead of selling that energy back, we'd actually capture it, which we capture at a few cents better leverage position, I guess, for us. So that'll take a lot of that diesel bill out. So as we're charging that vehicle with electricity from our solar system, our solar array, that'll take some more of our diesel costs out, which we've already produced some pretty decent savings in our diesel, but that'll actually bring that diesel consumption down even further.
Part of the reason councilors asked the fire chief to include things like the vehicles was because I'm very pleased that the numbers speak for themselves, that this solar array will pay for itself, that it will save us money in a relatively short period of time. The way we build our budgets, though, too, the savings is very immediate. So when you see a number that says we save $12,000, that's in the general fund. The general fund is very tight. Now, the CIP, obviously, we did pay for the solar panel. That $250,000 is out the door. But we don't need to make that expense every year. That's not a loan. We don't need to make payments on it. We bought it. But that savings on the general fund, which gets tighter every single year, that's the hardest to balance. That's a benefit every single year. So we're really feeling it, or at least I am, when we're putting these budgets together. But the other side of this is operationally, I'm proud to be an environmentalist. I'm proud to do environmental policy. But this really is about making the fire department more efficient at what the fire department does. They're not our environmental division. They're our fire department. And those EVs have helped us to respond to calls in very different ways and overall protect us. I was really excited to hear what he mentioned with the ability to use those as a storage battery for, you know, mobile command centers to power station in emergency. Those are the kind of emergencies that we really worry about that keep us up at night, where power could go out for extended periods of time. So I hope that this is encouraging to you, and that, you know, when we bring more radical proposals, even ones that maybe don't pay for themselves as effectively, things like investing in an actual self-contained system, maybe battery storage within the department, so it's not on the grid at all. I don't have plans for that yet, but when we start bringing more expensive things like that, I hope you'll start to be continuous on the path to being one of the more innovative cities in Wisconsin on this kind of infrastructure. Councilor Allen.
This is off topic, but since we brought up the new fire truck, how many kilowatt hours does that thing store? Do we get another 3 days with that, or what? That has to be larger, right?
Off the cuff, I think it's roughly 300.
Okay.
Just going from memory.
All right, thanks.
You're going to like the electric fire truck. It's a pretty cool vehicle. Councilor Sweeney.
I think we're in the plans for another fire hall, remodeling fire hall.
Yes, sir.
So what are we doing with that, with the panels on that roof?
The preliminary design included solar panels, and I think the design was a slightly larger system than what we have at headquarters. And then also with the heating system, where we would prefer, if possible, to go to a ground source heat pump, which would provide heat through geothermal. We'd still have to have fuel fired in the apparatus space simply because of the high BTU need when you open a big, huge door in the middle of January. You just need a lot of heat to warm that area up quickly.
So, and you indicated that this fire hall, which is understandable, is not wired for, but the new ones, that's in the plans to wire it.
Yep, they'd be done from the start.
Okay. Is this an ideal location where you are now?
Wisconsin or in...
No. Sorry. Well, it's an ideal
location. It's ideal to live here.
I agree with that. But being on however, 3-5 stories high in the location of the fire hall, the new fire hall right now.
Yeah, with the location of current headquarters, it's got unfettered southern access. And the same thing with the proposed location of new Station 2 would have unfettered southern access. Okay. And even the Station 3, I believe, would as well. So they'd have good access to the south face where most of our panels would be facing.
I understand that unfettered is a big item when you go to build these buildings.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, no trees, no buildings. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Allam asked another good question about maintenance. With the electric vehicles, obviously these are new types of vehicles that require different types of maintenance. But with both the solar panels, the solar array, and the vehicles, I see benefit in us continuing to invest in it because as we have more of these things, we can bring a lot more of that maintenance in-house and save a lot of that money rather than have to go out to a contract. Now, I can't promise that our buildings and grounds team is going to be able to repair solar panels. Right now, I don't think that they can. But the more we invest in it, the more productive it is for us to bring that in-house and save even more. The other point that I feel very strongly about with this array, these numbers, again, these are real savings, you know, so it proved that this is economically viable, and I hope it will continue to prove that and prove it even more. So it sets an example for other developers in the community. When people build large projects, I hope they're paying attention to this and seeing the solar panels that they maybe shopped for 5 years ago, 10 years ago, are not the technology that they would be installing on their buildings. You can really make a more profitable development. You can make a more affordable housing unit by installing these sorts of things on there. This is the kind of leadership that I'm grateful that the fire department has, I guess, been leaders in. Any other questions or discussion?
Just one more.
Councilor Clean, please.
The panels, I understand, have different value, different qualities.
Yeah.
A to Z, I don't know if it's that big a variety, but so what variety, what quality did we, assuming there's A, B, and C, C being the worst, A being the best, which one did we purchase?
I couldn't tell you exactly. I assume they're fairly high quality given the fact they have a full 30-year warranty.
Okay.
They're back for that long.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Hare.
Is the fire hall, the main fire hall, is that 100%? Electricity, or is there natural gas going out there too?
No, it's natural gas. That building was built, it has natural gas boilers
okay.
that heat the building.
Okay, because I know you mentioned something about the heat goes out and that kind of stuff. I suppose they're all electrical ignitions for those boilers? Or
that would be, headquarters is such a big building. Station 2 and Station 3 would be able to survive with one of those F-150s for, like I said, for about a day and a half. Headquarters would be a little different. It's just such a big building with high demand that
okay.
it would drain the battery fairly quickly.
All right, thank you.
And lastly, not to end on a note stealing the fire chief's thunder, but he is not the only department with EVs anymore. As of this month, the police department got its first electric vehicle. Did you drive it here today, Chief?
I did.
Okay, stay late. We can all check it out. Any other questions? Thanks very much, Chief Olbert.
All right, item 4.1 is the approval of the November 19th, 2024 regular council meeting minutes.
Motions by Councillor Herrick, second by Councillor Elm. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion carries.
And item 6.1 is report from Mayor Payne.
Good evening again, councillors. Just a couple of things. First, I've mentioned before, now that we are past the election, we are going to go into the biannual budget session. The governor has announced his statewide tour of budget listening sessions. In my experience, in the last two biennium budgets proposed by Tony Evers, he has really taken the feedback that he's gotten at these statewide sessions and turned them into the budget. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like a Superior stop is scheduled this time. We don't get them all the time, but there will be one in Ashland next week, Thursday, on the 12th at 5:30 p.m. If you're interested, we'll get you the address and details. But I plan on going, so if anybody wants to ride with me, you're free to join. I'll jet out an hour or two before. The rest of the year, you're going to be seeing a flurry of last-minute financial stuff. Pay attention to the Finance Committee. But as we approach the actual year-end, there may be some stuff we're rushing straight to council to catch that. So I hope you'll give us a bit of forbearance there. And you may be following, we are about to be in the search for a new parks director. I am holding off on that posting until January. That's after consulting with HR a little bit. We just feel that you get more applicants after the holidays and than before. So we're going to post that in January, and I hope to be able to fill that relatively quickly. But, you know, with a position like that, we are never afraid of taking our time. That said, I just wanted to use tonight to point out that that's kind of a long time for that department to go without a director, and they've now been through several things and will go through several major events without that director. So I just wanted to publicly thank the senior park staff, Ryan Wentland, Jody Saylor, and Jacob Bunt for all the work that they have done to get us through a number of events. The tree lighting was a huge hit just a couple of days ago. We're going into the ice festival now. They all have crews that are helping them out that are also doing an outstanding job, but they're really putting in some great work to make sure that we have an exciting winter. And I think the ice rinks are getting filled earlier, that flooded earlier than I've ever seen them, at least since I've been mayor. Now, obviously, I'm grateful that they're doing that, but I think Mother Nature gets a little bit more of the credit on that one. That is my report. Unless there are questions.
All right, item 7.1 is the business of the Human Resources Committee with a meeting held on November 18th. Is there a report from the chair?
Councillor Van Sickle, did you have a report from HRC?
I didn't. Thank you so much.
All right, item 7.3 is the business of the Finance Committee with two special meetings held on November 26th and December 2nd. Is there a report from the chair?
I would like to know if we could move that to 10.2, the last item on the agenda.
Is there objection? There's no objection. This will be taken out of order as the last item of business.
Thank you.
All right. Item 7.5 is the Business of Public Safety Committee with a meeting held on November 21st. Is there a report from the chair?
Just a brief one. Thank you, Chair. Public safety, we had had some discussions recently regarding stop sign placements in Billings Park and the Head Start School on Grand Avenue. This has been a switch from Public Works has traditionally looked at stop sign placement. That has now moved over to Public Safety. Those discussions on those stop signs in Billings Park and Head Start are ongoing as we look at some traffic calming issues around the Head Start area. Other discussions that we had at PSC regarded the approval of a new software for the fire department. The fire department currently uses about 5 different software programs. This program will replace those 5 that are currently in use. We approved this, but forwarded to CIT to let them weigh in, and we'll see that recommendation, I think, at some point this month. Lastly, what you see is the action item before you, the council tonight. Fire department has been awarded a grant to purchase some hazmat equipment. This is a grant that has no local match needed. This is fully funded. This equipment will help the fire department with identifying unknown materials and also help increase our air monitoring capabilities. And that is all I have. Answer any questions if anyone has. If not, I would move to approve item 7.5.1.
Second. Motion by Councilor Dean, second by Councilor Elm. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the acceptance of the grant, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. The motion carries.
Item 8.1.1 is the business of the Plan Commission with a meeting held on November 20th. Is there a report from the chair?
Yes, this was a fun Plan Commission meeting. They've been fun for a while, largely because we are working on our zoning code update, which I think we originally said we were going to do that every other meeting, and it's been pretty much every meeting, and I think it's probably going to have to stay that way. We really spend a lot of time working on this. No pressure again, counselors, but I do invite you to come and at least once in a while check in and see some of the work that we're doing with the zoning code. It really is a big deal, and we're getting pretty involved. So those discussions go for quite a while, to the point that we have to actually cap the meeting and force ourselves to stick to a time limit, because I'm pretty sure we'd stay there for several hours. So, but I promise that we go 4 to 6, and that's it. So please feel free to join us. Tonight, we are recommending 2 vacant to value awards. Again, that's the program where we have city-owned vacant land. We give that land away, I think, for $1 to a developer that promises to build a house on it. And that program has been very successful. It is wrapping up on the conforming lots, meaning those that are lawful according to the current zoning code. We have some non-conforming lots that we're going to try and do some creative work with next. And you're going to hear us sort of explore some of that creative work at the next plan commission meeting. We're going to start talking about things like land trust and other ways to achieve affordable housing. Maybe even more interesting, I've taken these things out of order. You'll see a the award of the contract for the design of the fire hall. I'm still amused by this, but I stumbled on a state statute that says the certain elements of community design, including the design and placement of any public building, must be reviewed and recommended by the Planning Commission. So as we talked about that, that actually does make a lot of sense. This is a fire hall. It has to be a fire hall, but it can't be ugly. It has to be in our. It has to look good in our neighborhoods, and that's what Planning Commission does. It makes sure that things fit well in the neighborhoods they're in. This is for the North End Fire Station. Chief Volbrecht knows I refuse to call them Station 2 and 3 anymore because I get them confused. So the North End Fire Station will look like Superior's North End, and that's what the Planning Commission is doing. In this case, we just awarded the... we recommend awarding the contract to what we think is the most qualified bidder. And then finally, which will be the final recommendation, that's just a resolution to vacate an alley. However, we will be holding a public hearing and then more discussion on the proposed development of the Lake Superior Elementary site. That was another thing I wanted you to be aware of. We started some preliminary discussion, got a presentation on the project from Ryan of PNR development, and the goal is to turn that into housing, but with a set affordability element. It's fairly complex. We talked about it for a while, but ultimately, in exchange for our incentive to develop the project, several of these apartments will be at least rent controlled. I think we can call them affordable. We use an affordability definition, but many people have different definitions of that. So we're going to call them rent controlled. So they won't all be market rate apartments. So we had a lot of discussion on that, and there will be more at the next Plan Commission meeting. No, that was a lot. Any questions about any of that before I blanket recommend approving all of these? Councilor Elm.
Couple questions on here. The first one, 8.1.1, about the fire station. We have if this, then that statement of we approving this amount, or if we receive funds from the climate justice grant coming up, that we would approve this. Is that common to, are we approving both, or can you have a little clarification on the technicality of that?
Oh, so, yeah, you would be approving up to the full 1.375. So if we get awarded the climate justice grant, we think we would probably just go ahead and design both fire halls. If we don't get awarded the climate justice, that doesn't mean we're necessarily building the second one right away, the East End Fire Hall, but it might be more worthwhile to just design them. If we didn't get the climate justice grant and we're just on the hook to build this station, it could be several years before we get to the East End Fire Hall, and a design may not stay relevant. If we get it, there's a possibility that we could do both at the same time,
yeah.
or at least do the second one much more quickly. But you would be authorizing us to design two fire halls tonight.
And that's the way I read it. I just don't... It doesn't seem like we commonly do that.
This is not a very common situation where we just don't know how this is funded.
Sure.
Yet. And the way in which it's funded will dramatically change our fire hall construction plans.
Would it be cleaner to just approve the lesser amount and then come back and approve the greater amount later?
We can do that.
I'm not sure if there's a benefit or if this is, I mean, if there's any complexity doing it that way.
Chief Ulbricht, do you see any problem with amending it later?
The reason why it's listed as that as being two different prices is that the cost of designing two stations is less than the cost of designing two individual stations. So this was an opportunity for the architect and engineering firm to offer a price that would cost for basically. Yeah. So that's the reason why it's in there like that. I'd have to talk to contract analyst Darwin about how that would look if we just approved the one and not the other.
Yeah. My understanding of why bundling them right now is I mean, we could get awarded the Climate Justice Grant tomorrow, and then we're designing this thing tomorrow. So if you approve these contracts tonight, I'm definitely going to sign them in the next few hours, and so we may want to set them to work on that. So I know that feels a little bit rushed. I don't imagine there would be a problem coming back and amending the contract, authorizing the design of a second fire hall. I believe we could probably come and do that. Obviously, the council can authorize them to go forward. They wouldn't be required to give us this price necessarily, right?
They would have to negotiate that, I believe, yeah.
The only reason I ask is just that not only is it a strange function, but we don't even know what grant we're getting in the terms, like, if we get a $10,000 grant, if that's what they're approving, just a small percentage, then does this necessarily mean we're going to spend this much more, you know? That's kind of the concern that could come up.
Yeah, and that relates to that language, should the city of Superior, I'm not super comfortable tying it to the grant itself, because, you're right, it's possible we don't get the grant, but still want to build two fire halls, yeah. You know, depending on what next year's capital budget looks like or what the council's priorities are, we may decide to just go forward with two of them anyway. So it's not 100% tied to this, but it's going to be a major driving factor in what we decide in the next few days.
I think it's just important we know what we're voting on, so I appreciate this discussion and clarity. And the architect is okay with either or. Are there different timelines involved?
I think the timelines would be fairly similar. We'd be working on them both at the same time, from what I understand. Okay. We do have representatives from the architecture firm that could maybe provide a little more insight on that.
Just that they're okay with, depending if we get the Climate Justice Grant or not. So,
Chief, I could answer a little bit to that if you can all hear me.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
I'm Robbie Krzyzewski. I'm Director of Architecture for Emergency Services Team. Essentially, the way we did that is, you know, obviously, if we move forward with Station 2, that we move forward at that 878, and then that would be the contract value until, you know, you receive those funds and you decide to move forward with Station 3, then the contract value would change. So really, we don't really move on anything until you obviously give us instructions to. So really, you know, the chief would say, okay, we're doing Station 2 at this particular time. We're going to hold out for a little bit to see, obviously, if that grant does move forward or not, because as everyone kind of just realized in there, if we do both of them at the same time, that's where the savings comes into play, you know. So that's why that 1.3 is, you know, 8.78 times 2, you know, 1.6 minus the ROCF of 1.3. It's just the efficiency factor for us, and it saves dollars and cents. So our goal right now is just to start on Fire Station 2 until we hear otherwise from that grant, and then you tell us to move forward or not move forward, and that's how we kind of handle 3.
And this recommendation, you would be giving that decision-making authority to the administration. You'd be giving us a green light to just go ahead and design 2 fire stations without coming back to council. That's what this vote would do. If you definitely want that second fire hall in front of you, but before we design it, then you should only approve the 878. That's me explaining the question to you, yeah. Again, as the chair of the planning commission, this passed unanimously, and I recommend approving the full recommendation.
I'm just trying to grasp the bundle deal and if it expires and how that correlates to it. So I have no problem with this. It's just it's a strange way of doing it. I wanted
I wish I had more of an update on the MC2 grant. We're all kind of joking. By January 20th, we expect to have an update on it. But and really, it's hour by hour at this point. Any given day, we should hear. Our understanding is the EPA is really rushing to get those funds out.
Sure. But by that January 20th, we're okay waiting until then if we need to save a significant amount.
Yeah, that'd be a little longer than I think we plan on waiting. I really hope I'm not waiting until January 20th to hear back on this grant, but we're going to decide on one fire hall. If we get into the new year, we may just punt and say, just do the one fire hall.
Thanks. And then the second question unrelated to this was 8.1.1.2 that you report, vacant to value. That only had one sheet in here. The one following, it had a lot of detail about what they were building. It was just the one-page memo. I don't know if we had content missing from the agenda packet or if it was just the memo.
I don't remember that. Jason, do you remember that? I'm sorry, Mr. Sirk.
That's for the property 18XX East 5th Street.
Councilors, Mayor, I'm assuming it just got missed. So, because usually we do put a pretty good sized packet in there with the agreements and that sort of thing. So, were they not in there?
I did not see that specific property.
They are not in there? Okay. Just the memo was?
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, again, it's like a 900 square foot home being built on the corner lot there at. So if you did want more information, you could certainly hold that, and we can bring it back if you'd want more information on that. I'm not sure why it didn't get included.
I think it would be prudent that we all have a look at it. I know the Plan Commission approved it, but
yeah, absolutely.
If it's not going to hold anything up significantly.
This is the 1800 block of East 5th.
Correct.
Yes, if you'd like to see it, it's in the Plan Commission packet right now.
Correct.
So, I mean,
I don't know if any other councils want to do a deeper dive, but, you know, a five-second view, I don't know if that equates to.
Yep, it's up to you.
I would be more comfortable holding totally that until the next meeting.
I don't think it's going to hold anything up.
Well, thank you.
Would you like to move to hold that one?
I would. Whatever order you'd like, but yes, I'd like to hold
8.1.12. Let's move through these one at a time then, since there's been some discussion. Heidi, would you take us to the recommendations one at a time, please? Sorry, Clerk Blunk.
Thank you.
Item 8.1.1.1 is to award the Fire Station 2 renovation project to Wendell 5 Bugles LHB in the amount of $878,000 with the alternate option of design and engineering Fire Stations 2 and 3 in the amount of $1,375,000 should the City of Superior be awarded the federal EPA Climate Justice Community Change Grant for this project.
Motion is by Councilor Elm, second by Councilor Grasky. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion carries.
All right. Item 8.1.1.2 is to waive land sale procedures for the city-owned property located at the 1800 East 5th Street block, and that Superior and that city staff be allowed to execute and transfer by quitclaim deed immediately to Christopher Conrad outlined in the Vacant to Value New Construction Program.
We actually need to get it on the floor before we can postpone it, so we would need a motion to approve first. Motions by Councilor Moffitt, second by Councilor Ledeen. Councilor Elm, your motion is to postpone until the next council meeting. Is there a second to that motion? Yeah. Motions by Councilor Elm, second by Councilor Sweeney. Is there discussion on the motion to postpone? Hearing none, all those in favor of postponement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
Item 8.1.1.3 is to waive land sale procedures for city-owned property located at 1017 Fisher Avenue, and that city staff be allowed to execute the transfer by quitclaim deed immediately to New York Avenue Properties, LLC, as outlined in the Vacant to Value New Construction Program.
Motion is by Councilor Moffitt, second by Councilor Elm. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
8.1.1.4 is to approve a resolution to set a public hearing to consider the vacation of a portion of an alley near North 28th Street and Billings Drive.
Motion is by Councilor Johnson, second by Councilor Grasky. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
At this time, are there any further committee or commission reports to be made? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Item 10.1, Finance Director Reinhart recommends approval of a resolution appropriating the necessary funds in the amount of $35,878,559 for the operation of the general city government and the administration of the City of Superior, Wisconsin for the year 2025 and authorizing and directing a tax levy to be spread on the tax roll for the City of Superior for the year 2024.
Motion is by Councilor Ledeen, second by Councilor Elm. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries.
And item 10.2, Mayor Payne is recommending the approval of an extension to the Memorandum of Understanding with Superior Public Museums.
Well, actually, we need to set how long the extension would go, but the councilors, we discussed this at the Finance Committee. I'm open to some dates, but the Finance Committee has asked for organizations to submit proposals to operate the museums. Those are due on December 17th when the Finance Committee will hear those proposals, but it is highly unlikely that we will be bringing a contract to the council by the end of the year, so we would need to extend this. I'm open to dates. I think the Finance Committee could get its work done within 3 months, Councilman. What I would look for is a motion to extend the Memorandum of Understanding with Superior Public Museums for a period of, and I will let you decide, and we can debate that number once we have something on the floor. Councilor Johnson.
I think this is the third time we've continued this MOU, at least. I think the third extension we've made, or at least the second.
Sounds right.
Second or third. Is there any problem with extending this until we have a contract in place that replaces this MOU? So, an indefinite... I'm just throwing that out right there. I'm fine with throwing out
it's in
February 28th, 2025 as a date, but, what if...
If you're asking... That motion would be in order. Generally, the last two times we debated this, the council generally committed to a date because they wanted to set a deadline for their work to keep things moving along. That was my memory of that conversation.
And I think my point is now that we have some dates set for that work to be done, we can just say once the... But I'll stick with your recommendation here and say February 28th. It's not a leap year, right? That was this year. February 28th, 2025.
The motion is by Councilor Johnson, second by Councilor Moffitt, to extend the Memorandum of Understanding of the Superior Public Museums until February 28th. Discussion on that motion. Councilor Hill. Councilor Johnson, more to say?
Yeah, sorry. I was taking a drink of water. Would this then, we would need to, if we get a contract in place prior to this date, that do we need to come back and disband this, or would the contract then replace that?
The contract will replace it. Contracts will almost always have a clause that dictates that previous agreements are null and void.
Okay.
Councilor L.
Can you refresh my memory on the RFP timeline here? Like, when is that due? How much time do we need to review that? Just to make sure there's plenty of time to meet that end of February deadline.
So that is partially on the Finance Committee and the Council, but the organizations, I just checked this yesterday, I believe it was December 17th, is when they are due. The Finance Committee meeting, which I assume is that day or the next day, will then hear those proposals. Finance Committee's game from that point. So what we described in committee was they would give presentations. I met with DCHS and Superior Public Museums, and I advised both of them that they should prepare a written proposal, and that they should be prepared to defend that proposal and answer questions in person, or even give a presentation. But the Finance Committee's setting all the rules on this. I also told both those organizations and the Finance Committee I will put together a proposal for city operation so the Finance Committee can consider that, but it wouldn't be something I'm recommending. It's just something, if that's the direction you want to go, I want to be prepared for that up front. From that point, typically what happens is you sort of pick an organization that you want to negotiate with. We may go into closed session. Finance Committee gives me some terms, or your chair, or whoever you want to nominate for that purpose, and then you start banging out the actual detailed terms of a contract. We let the other parties know, and then we bring a final contract to Finance Committee and Council. I believe that can be done in the course of 1 month. The Finance Committee often takes its time with work, and it would be perfectly appropriate to be bringing this to Council in February.
Thank you. Yeah, I know that sometimes these decisions can take some time in finance, and I want to just make sure there's enough time there. So you're, if I heard you correctly, that we'll be reviewing the options in the December finance meeting, or would it be the January in the finance meeting?
You'll be hearing from these organizations
December 12th.
In the December meeting. And I guess I would be surprised. As I'll say again what I said at finance, I will encourage you to make a decision in December. I don't really expect you to. I think that you may want to come up with some terms of your own. You may pick a front runner and want us to start negotiating with them. That happens in contract negotiation. So it could take a minute from that point, but I will still be, you know, pushing expediency throughout this process.
Because typically I'd see something like this taking a couple months at finance unless we had special meetings. So I'm just trying to weigh in if that's enough time. So by the end of February, hopefully it'd be enough time. Otherwise, we're back here again, adjusting it again. Thanks.
Councilor Moffitt.
Mayor Payne, I have the RFP pulled up, and it states on here that the proposals are due December 17th, and then potential interviews are scheduled for weeks of January 6th or January 13th, and the tentative council vote would be February 4th, according to the RFP. So that's the information that's in there with that timeline, just as a loose framework, you know. So.
That seems like it would fit. Again, I'm going to hope and ask that the Finance Committee is moving fairly quickly. Director Renner, did you have something to say on the subject? Okay. That's a timeline that is perfectly reasonable that I would expect it to go that way. But, again, I'm hoping we can get some work done here in December so that the time period between when the organizations complete their work and when Finance really makes its final decision, I don't want that time to go to waste either. So if there's things we can hammer out outside the meeting, I'd want to be starting that work. Councilor Grasky.
I guess I had a question about, you know, the sense of urgency to make a decision. But then, you know, from Councilor Johnson's point of view, I just wanted to point out that leaving an open date, I think pushing it where, you know, the current nonprofit taking the sources to provide events and to maintenance these places and spaces. I think a deadline is good in order to project that. And if something is decided before the date that you have propositioned, I think then there'll be like a transfer and there'll be no lapse to the public is kind of how I want to support an end date. But I'm not sure if it can be changed in this specific spot, but I was wondering if we could make that deadline land on a council day, whether that be the third meeting in February or the first in March, just because there won't be a lapse for those. So let's say there's a, I don't know, may take 8 weeks, 9 weeks or something to decide on something that we have more of an, I guess, schedule for us as council in order to make that decision. There's no, like, 5 days or 6 days that there is no one taking care of these properties.
February 28th is a Friday. March 4th, the following Tuesday, is the closest council meeting to that date.
Just for us, too, I just feel like a lot of us know more information about this than some others, and watching dates and trying to get that to the clerk and all of that. Just, I want to make sure that this is as smooth and respected on all parties.
Would you like to move that amendment?
I would.
Okay. The those are pretty close enough. Those are pretty close dates. Is there objection to changing this motion to terminating the MOU on March 4th instead of February 20th? Is there an objection to that? Councilor Moffitt?
Not an objection, but just to, you know, like, if it ends on that date, it needs to be addressed, like, a week or two before that at a council meeting, because somebody can't go to the council meeting hoping that their contract gets extended or changed or whatever like that and then be out of the building or have, you know, like those, some sort of transition period would need to occur. And so, like, you know, I think if you're 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks out from that deadline, well, it needs to get extended again. And so, like, it doesn't necessarily need to be on a council meeting date, because you can't have the group show up at the meeting not knowing if they have keys to the building tomorrow, you know?
I agree with that. And first, since we're discussing the motion was made by Councillor Graskin, second by Councillor Johnson to amend to March 4th, and we are discussing the question of amending the and we've talked about this before. I do agree that there is some value of landing on a council day because, well, if you're going to make a transition, yes, you should not do that the day before you make the transition. But if you need more time or whatever, then this is a drop-dead date wherein, yes, it's still in Superior Public Museum's hands, and then we can make a decision to extend. And for what it's worth, I really don't mind coming back and having these discussions about extending it every few months. It keeps the whole council focused on finishing this and keeps us moving rather than leaving these organizations in limbo wondering what's happening. Councillor Johnson, please.
To Councillor Moffitt's point, and I appreciate the amendment there, I mean, the RFP says the first week in February would be when the contract is likely to come to council. That gives us a full month for a transition, so I think that's that this is appropriate.
Councillor Grassley.
I just want to, I understand from our point of view as councillors, I'm just also kind of looking at this from a slight tourism perspective, business perspective. Even if a date is out there, I think that there are people that are putting forth creativity, continuation of these businesses in our city-owned buildings, and I think that out of respect, I think that their own principles would put them forth and keep making the mission happen. So whether that contract is still with us, with the same same nonprofit or moving on to something different, I think it just allows the room to still continue the whole mission. So that's why I want to say, like, I understand from some other counselors that it feels as if there might be some difficulty, but I think the people that are doing their job now would want a peaceful transfer no matter what the position. So thank you.
The question right now is whether to amend to March 4th. Any further discussion on that question? All those in favor of amending to March 4th, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. The motion carries. The main question now is the same, to extend to March 4th. Any further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. The motion carries. We are back in regular order and considering item 7.3.
Item 7.3 is the business of the Finance Committee with two special meetings held on November 26th and December 2nd. Is there a report from the chair?
Yes, thank you. We did have a meeting yesterday, and we are still in negotiations or in questions, so we were going to have a meeting scheduled for this Friday, which will be our last day. We will make a decision on that day. But some of the items that we're working on that we haven't got covered yet, or we haven't got complete answers, are deductibility, coverages, self-insurance versus non-self-insurance, if that's the proper term, understanding the big picture. This is approximately a $500,000 contract, so this is a lot of money. So we've got to do it right. So my question is that we want to hold this in committee. The information doesn't say we had a meeting on Monday, but we did have one on Monday. And so now we held it in that committee to schedule on Friday. So if we held this on Friday and there's some urgency to get this done, so I'll go back to Jim, but maybe a special city council meeting at some point in time next week.
The chair is correct. This is relatively timely. We need to make a decision about whether to renew with our existing provider or select a different provider. Finance Committee has asked for the time to work on this. They're moving very expeditiously with two special meetings this week, including on Friday. And the chair has asked me to put to you the question of whether you would convene in a special meeting on Monday or Tuesday of next week. I believe it's possible two counselors could be conflicted on this issue, which means we need eight of you in the room for this question, or we need seven in the room. So my recommendation would be a special meeting on Tuesday, only because Tuesdays. I assume your schedules are more clear than they might otherwise be on Mondays, where you are less likely to expect a council meeting. So this is on the agenda. We can discuss this. You can take action on this. The chair is not recommending any action except to set a special council meeting next week. Councilor Johnson.
Checking my calendar here. Don't we have a Superior Days meeting tentatively scheduled for Tuesday the 10th?
I'm sorry, in here? At what time?
6 is what I have on my calendar.
This is one item. We could... Superior Days meetings, we typically try to keep to an hour. We could meet a bit later at 7:30, or we could meet in 204.
Where's the Superior Days meeting? It's here, in the chambers?
We just have the meeting at 5 o'clock.
I'm nervous. I mean, if everybody agrees to that, of course. But I'm nervous about that because I don't know everybody's work and travel schedule to get here. I know typically you are all free at 6:30 on a Tuesday, and that which implies, well, I mean, it's 7:30 now, so I assume you're free after that as well. So to me, that's just the most, and it's most likely to get everybody here. And when I meet, when I've only got 8 counselors to get to 7, I mean, that's why I recommend later. But I'm happy. I'll be here. I'm happy to meet at 5.
Oh. Maybe I missed this part, but can you explain why it's a timely matter? Is the contract run out, or what?
Yeah, at the end of the year, there's a considerable amount of work in either renewing or transferring that has to be done yet in the calendar year.
Okay.
Okay. First, unless there's action or discussion, let's set aside the motion to adjourn because that is best placed at the end of the meeting and the special meeting. Are there any other questions about the insurance proposal, questions for the Chair of Finance, discussion we need to have on this, any motions before I consider taking us to a special meeting? Okay, then I'm going to take up public business by public now to finish the agenda. Is there any business by public?
No.
Okay, then what I will... Somebody want to suggest a time? Is everybody okay with 5? Can everybody in this room make 5 on Tuesday? Councilor Johnson.
I could probably make it virtually, but I don't think in person is going
to
happen.
I can lose one of you to virtual. I need 7 bodies in the room.
I guess I'm telling you, I can't be in person at 5 o'clock.
Councilor Elm?
What about Wednesday at 6:30? That's more complicated, but...
My only problem with Wednesday is it's a day later than Tuesday. And that's one day I would lose, my staff would lose working on this. If everybody will be here at 5, we can let Councilor Johnson be virtual. That would still be 7 bodies in the room, and we would make this. If somebody else doesn't show up, we're waiting until you get here, Councilor Johnson. Councilor Grasky.
I mean, I'm not trying to put the 2 councilors on... line, is that just they're just going to have to accept what we decide in person here?
I mean, they could participate in this. I just think it's possible both of them are conflicted. They haven't told me that.
Got it.
It's their decision, just but I think both of them could be conflicted.
Our numbers more secure for you. So
they're the ones making it hard on you. Okay. Right. I'm wildly outside of proper parliamentary procedure, but I want to make the motion work on the first try. I will entertain a motion to adjourn to a special meeting at 5 p.m. On Tuesday, December 10th.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
The motion is by Councilor Elmsack, by Councilor Moffitt, to adjourn to a special meeting on Tuesday, December 10th at 5 p.m. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. The motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you, counselors.